I want you to look. Last week we talked about, we were going on and we talked about, it was like God said, who wants to give their life to Jesus? And what was amazing was when we had that call, there was like 42 people that came forward and said, I want to give my life to Jesus. Do you know how to give your life to Jesus? Do you know? Do you want to give your life to Jesus? Okay, I'm glad all four of you do. Is there anybody else? Want to give your life to Jesus? Oh, there. I thought I saw those hands. Okay. You want to give your life to Jesus. How do you give your life to Jesus? Do you know? Do you know? How do you, when you leave here, how do you give your life to Jesus? How do you walk with Jesus? How do you have Jesus? You know, we have this resale shop open all week long except Monday. And everybody that works here is a minister in training. They're people that love Jesus. And so people come in. I've heard these stories that people go to Goodwill across the street. And then they walk in here and it's like the presence of God is here. And it's not just on Sunday. And they walk in and they say, what is this place? And because they sense God here. And our whole thing for that resale shop, there's times, probably right now, Miss Roxanne would tell you, we're not having a whole lot of business right now because they've got this construction out here and they've had water problems around here and things are in the way. But you know what? About a month ago, there was a guy named Richard who was the guy that came to our resale shop one day, and he had never been in church in 61 years, never stepped foot in a church. But he came here because it was a resale shop, and he just would wander around from store to store, and he came in here one day, and he basically wouldn't leave for about 6 months. He just stayed. Am I making this up, Don, or is that right? The dude would not leave. He was 61 years of age, and he would just hang out here all day because the people that are here know that the reason we have this is to bring people to Jesus. And so they take time to talk with you, be your friend, read the Bible with you, pray with you. And so Richard came here, and his family told us, they said, you know, he's never been happy in his life. We've hardly ever seen him smile. But ever since he came to this resale shop, ever since he came, they called it this church. Ever since he came here, they said, he just loves it, and he smiles, and he likes it here. And you know what? That man found Jesus in this place. And about 2 weeks after he found Jesus, you know what happened? The doctor told him, you have less than a week to be on the planet. He met Jesus, then we baptized him. And then about 2 weeks later, the doctor told him, you have less than a week to be on the planet. And he told Pastor Glenn, he said, you know what? He said, I know I'm going to heaven now. Because he came here and there was people that understood this is about, not about making money. Yes, it's a business. Yes, I have a business that I do outside of this and we support ourselves. But you know what? My son and my son-in-law, when they worked with me, they used to say to me, and Pastor Glenn, wherever he is, must be back in there in the marriage class. Pastor Glenn, when he worked with me, they all said to me, how do you make any money? Every time we go in a house, you spend all this time talking about Jesus. How do you make any money? My son and son-in-law said, if you just quit talking, do you know how much money you can make, Dad, if you just quit talking? I'm like, you know what? When I go in a house, or when I'm talking to somebody on the phone, or when I meet somebody at a gas station or wherever I meet somebody, I am just aware that they need Jesus. Do you need Jesus? Do you need to be loved? Do you need to be accepted? Do you need to be believed in? How about, do you need to be forgiven? Thank you, Lord. Just reminded me. This last Monday, I have been asking God. So people said, Pastor Harvey, you have some sin in your life. And I said, I don't see it. And they said, well, you have sin in your life. And I go, I don't see it. So I said, God, please show me my sin. This last Monday, we were having a leadership meeting. And when the meeting was done, everybody left except a few people. And somebody said to me, I have been praying for you for the last 3 weeks. I have just been interceding for you like as if that was the whole reason I'm on the planet. And I don't, God wants me to say something to you and I don't want to say it. And I said, well, I want you to say it. What is it? And I don't know what they said, because as soon as they started talking, what God did was he pulled blinders right off my eyes and he showed me that I have pride, I have self-righteousness, and I've been putting confidence in myself all my life instead of confidence in God, because I'm a very confident person the way my folks raised me. And it was like, but that gets in God's way because it comes off as arrogant and proud. Now, different ones of you have seen my sin. I don't know if you know this, but we're always the last one to see our sin. Everybody around us sees our sin, but we're the last ones to see it. So I want to ask you to forgive me for my pride and my arrogance and my self-righteousness and my confidence in me, and how it's hurt you or gotten in your way, or to help get in the way to so you can't see Jesus any way that I've hurt you. I want to ask you to forgive me, and then I want to ask you to do something. I'm the leader here, right? Okay? Is that right?
Yes.
I just thought otherwise I'll sit down. I just thought I'd ask, okay? I need you to pray for me, because though I see it, it hasn't been broken in me yet. You understand? I'm in process. God's dealing with me about this. We all have sin in our lives, and we go along hurting other people, being selfish, having to give our opinions, not listening. We've all done this, right? When God begins to deal in our hearts and begins to open our eyes about a sin, that's what God's after. And that's what God wants to deliver us, or Jesus us. The name Jesus means deliver. He wants to Jesus us from that sin. Jesus came to pay for our sin. So when I saw this week, this last Monday, I said, God, Jesus, that sin, it's like I saw it. And I said, Jesus, I am so aware that my sin, this pride, this self-righteousness, this confidence in my own self, my own ability, my own wisdom, that sin nailed you to the cross. That sin beat you. That sin crammed that crown of thorns in your head. That sin caused your disciples to flee. My sin, Jesus, killed you. Jesus, break my heart. Jesus, bring it to the surface. Jesus, bring it, get it out of me. And he gave me a vision of a root inside of me of pride. I'm going to keep saying it. Self-righteousness and confidence in self. And he showed me this big, deep root inside of me. Remember the 19 steps we preached on and about the root and how God brings the wants to get that sin out of you? Well, he showed me this root, and it was this thick root inside of me. And it was bushy, and it was leafy. And when Jesus went to put his, I said, Jesus, would you get a hold of that root of sin, of pride and self-righteousness in me? And would you pull it out? And in my mind, I'm just having this vision, and I saw him reach in, Jesus now, reach in with his hand, grip that root, and it was so thick he couldn't get his hand all the way around it. And I said, would you please pull it out? Well, he's done this many times in my life because I've seen other sin, confessed it, asked God to remove it, and God began removing it and taking the effects of it out of my life and has brought me closer to him. Well, this time, when he got a hold of that root, I said, would you pull it out? He got a hold of it like this, and his hand went, And I said, whoa. I said, Jesus, you're Jesus. You can pull this out. You're God. And it was like the root would not come out of me. And I saw the ground kind of move a little, but the root would not budge. And what he said, he brought to my mind Ephesians 5:26, where it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And what he said to me was, Harvey, your heart, the soil of your heart, needs to be soaked with the word of God and oil. It needs to be soaked with water and oil. And I knew immediately he was talking about the word of God. And it's like, he says, your ground needs to be softened up because your whole life, this has been you. See, when I was growing up, my name is Harvey Jackson Hampton the Fourth. I'm the oldest son of the oldest son for five generations, okay? When I was growing up, my mom and dad told me I was the smartest guy out there. I have a pretty high IQ. They told me I could do anything. And so all my life I've been very, competitive. I've gone to companies and beat their sales records because God's gifted me as a salesman. And I've done that, but I've always... To be in competition means that somebody has to be a loser for you to be a winner. And that means you think higher of yourself because you put others down. And that's been my whole life, thinking like that. And when, as I saw Jesus with his hand around that root, and I said, please pull it out. And he said, it can't just come out that easy because you've got to have your heart. You've got to be broken. You've got to be softened. And this is deep inside of you. And as I kept looking, what I pictured was I tried to picture him pulling that root out. And it was that root was so much of me that when he went to pull it out, in my mind, I'm trying to picture him pulling it out. It was like that root was me. There wasn't anything left. So much so that I was like, God, I don't even know how to be anything but where I'm at. I don't even know how to think different. Because all my life, my parents said, you're the best. You could do this. You could do that. And I didn't even realize that until my wife said, Harvey, this isn't just a sin that you agreed with. This is a sin that was inbred into you by your parents and reinforced your whole life. And so this is how I've always thought. Now, I'm standing up here as your leader telling you, I have this in my life. I need you. I mean, any of you want me to stay proud? Arrogant? Self-righteous? Confidence in self instead of God? Is that what you want? Okay. So, love gives. Okay? So, what I need is, remember when the Beatles sang that song, we get by with a little help from our friends? Well, guess what? They got that from God. They didn't get much from God, but they got that from God. Okay? Think of their name, Beatles, crawling around on the floor. But anyway, okay. I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray, God, grant him repentance. God, break his heart. God, help him to see this. Help him to confess it. That's why I'm doing this. Because I don't want to do it. Do you understand? Hang on a second. Would you like to come up here and confess your sin? We can ask the person next to you what your sin is and then let you come and confess that. See, I don't want this in me. I don't want to be like that. So I need you, if God brings me to your mind, and if you're willing, I need you to pray for me that God would get this out of me. See, this isn't too hard for Jesus. Jesus could do anything. He got up from the dead. Tell me what he couldn't do. You know anybody else who got up from the dead? Okay, right. So like he got up from the dead, he could do anything. I'm wanting to be delivered from this. I don't want this in me anymore. I didn't even know I had it in me until Monday. And all my life, people have said I was proud or self-righteous or arrogant. And I didn't see it. I now see it. I want it gone. So I want you to pray for me because I want it gone. I want you to care for me the way you want me to care for you. You understand? Because I want to help you get delivered from what's in your life. I want to help you get to Jesus. Well, this isn't Jesus. This is the enemy. And I want this out of me. You understand what I'm saying? What we're going to talk about today is the kingdom of heaven. You're in the book of Matthew. And in chapter 3 and verse 2. Turn to chapter 3 and verse 2. When, Father, I don't even want to say another word without you. Just ask that you would be the one that speaks today. Just want to yield ourselves to you. We want to read your word, think about your word, hear your word, and let your word have root in us. Thank you, Jesus. When John the Baptist came, God gave him a message and he said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." There are two kingdoms in this world. Do you know what they are? Heaven and hell. That's right, heaven and hell. Do you know who their leaders are? Somebody else. Hang on. You know, I used to get in trouble in school because I raised my hand too much to answer. They would say, remember I was in college one time and the professor looked around and says, "Doesn't anybody else know this?" And they were all probably like, "No, because Harvey's got the hand up the first, you know." But who leads those two kingdoms? Who leads those two kingdoms? Who? The little girl back here said, "The Lord and Satan." The Lord and Satan. Now, who do you want to serve? Because let me tell you something. You're going to serve one or the other. Okay? Now let's watch this. Are you ready? Darkness, light. Which kingdom do you want to be in?
Light.
Oh. Who wants to be in the kingdom of darkness? Do you like being in the dark?
No.
Do you like being like out in the woods or somewhere where there's no light and you can't find light? Is that comfortable? Okay. How about death and life? Which one do you want to be part of?
Life.
How about pride and humility? Which one do you like? How do you like people dealing with you? Do you like them dealing with you being proud and arrogant? Or would you rather somebody be humble and kind? Which? We have a choice to make. Jesus said, He said, you need to repent. Do you know why we need to repent? Because we have all operated in the wrong kingdom. The kingdom that's not God is the kingdom of self. The devil wants you to look at self and to think about self, to worship self, to please self. Do you ever hear these words coming out of your mouth? And I'm going to say this, dear Holy Spirit, when each person in this room, including me, hears these words come out of our mouth from this point forward, please make us very acutely aware. Do you hear yourself say, "I want, I think, I feel"? Now, is it okay for you to think? Is it okay for you to want? Is it okay for you to feel? Yes. But when everything is about you, Steve, you want to go out with me? Hush. You want to go out with me to eat? Steve says, yes. And I say, okay, well, I'm going to go over here. You want to go? And Steve says, well, I'd like to, wouldn't it be better if I said, Steve, would you like to go out to eat? Yeah. Where would you like to go, Steve? Instead of what I want. Does this make sense? You see, it's either about me or it's about others. We don't live for others as a rule. We live for ourselves. We're living to please ourselves. So when John the Baptist came, in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2, he said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Change your mind. Change your heart. Make a different choice. Because the kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of life, the kingdom of peace, the kingdom of joy, the kingdom of forgiveness, the kingdom of humility. Chapter 4, verse 17. We're staying in the book of Matthew. Chapter 4, verse 17. Now Jesus begins his public ministry. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Last week, I said, God had me say, how many of you want to give your life to Jesus? Come give your life to Jesus. And my wife told me later, 42 people came forward to give their life to Jesus. Pretty much everybody. I want to give my life to Jesus. What does that mean to give our life to Jesus? It's to walk in His kingdom, to live in His kingdom. If Satan is the ruler of the kingdom of this world, if Satan is the ruler of the kingdom of darkness and lies and pride, then in God's the king of heaven, think about if you had a king, what does the king do? The king, what's his position? I mean, what does it mean to be a king? To be a leader? What does that mean? Does that mean he gets to make the rules? He's in charge. He gets to make the rules. And everybody, what are they supposed to do toward the king? Follow him. Okay, so if we put it in a four-letter word and it starts with O and it ends with Bay, what would we do with him? Obey. Oh, okay. Did y'all get that? Starts with O and ends with Bay. I'm just putting the cookies on the bottom shelf for a little joy. Okay. Okay. I don't want a cookie. Okay. So what is God's kingdom? What does it look like? What does He want? Because we don't want the other kingdom, right? So how are we going to live in His kingdom? There's a verse I want to read you. Just give me a second. Let me find it. It says, let's see. I know it's here in Matthew. He says, you don't get to go in. Where is it, Lord? Look in chapter 5 and verse 20. Jesus said, he was talking about being called great in the kingdom of heaven before that. We probably ought to look at that verse 18, verse 17. Let's start at 17. Think not that I am come, Jesus said, think not that I am come here to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily, for truly, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle, one comma, one period, shall in no wise pass from the law, pass from the word of God, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever, that means anybody, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, go against what God teaches, and shall teach men so, he should be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed or go beyond the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. That means we have to do better than the rich, than the religious leaders did. Is that what that verse is saying? Is that what it's saying? Because if I have to do better, they were like, when I went to Israel 3 years ago, those people like are trying to keep the law. You get on a public bus and they're carrying, they only have the Old Testament. I think they call it the Talmud, I believe, whatever. But anyway, they carry and they read it everywhere they go. You see them walking down the street reading their Bible. Yeah, blah, 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 saying this. Because they're memorizing it. You think I know a whole lot of verses? Those people will know like the whole Old Testament by heart. Because they read it over and over because they're trying to keep it perfectly. Is it possible, do you think? Have you ever been able to keep the Bible perfectly? How about the Ten Commandments? Let's just boil it down to the Ten Commandments. Have you ever kept the Ten Commandments perfectly? Love God. Don't worship anybody. Yeah, almost, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. It's not hand grenades. It's not hand grenades. It's not just getting close, you know. The only way that somebody's going to be able to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. They have to come to Jesus and realize, God, I can't keep the Ten Commandments. I can't keep this. I want to, but even when I want to, I keep messing up. And see, I'd do fine if it wasn't for people, Lord. If they just leave me alone, if they'd stay off of my road, I mean, I pay taxes, it's my road. What are they doing on my road? And why are you in the passing lane going 20 miles an hour for crying out loud? See, God puts those people in my way to say, Harv, remember who you are? Remember what's inside of you? I need you, Jesus. He says, you sure do. Because I'm supposed to love these people that drive 20 miles an hour on my road in my way. And two of them, I can't get through them. I mean, I could, but it's not legal. But and my car would look a little wrinkled. Okay, but I could do it. God wants us to live in the kingdom. His kingdom. And in order to even enter into His kingdom, we have to come to Him and admit, God, that's not what's in me. If heaven's perfect, which it is, if I could go to heaven right now without Jesus, I would mess it up. It wouldn't be heaven anymore. That's why we have to come to Jesus and admit. That's why I had to come to Him as a drug dealer and say, God, I need You to cleanse me. I've got sin. I hate. And anger and disobey my parents and self-gratification, you know, do drugs or just please me. And God, that's what's in me. And Jesus, I need You to forgive me. I don't understand. It's hard to believe that You love me. But You love me. When I read this Bible, the night before I met Jesus, I'm reading the Bible while I was smoking a joint. And while I'm reading it, I saw Jesus saying He loved me and He cared about me. And He was so real, I put that joint out and I read the Bible for hours. I not only read Matthew, but I read the next book, Mark, and the book after that called Luke, and the book after that called John. Because I just was so mesmerized, so captured by the love of this person named Jesus. And that when people were sinners and people were caught in sin, a woman in the midst of adultery, and God, they bring this woman and cast her at Jesus' feet, these religious, self-righteous leaders, and say, Here's what the Word says, but what do you say? The Word says in the Old Testament, if people were caught in adultery, and by the way, it takes two to be in adultery, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder why they didn't bring the man. Maybe it was one of them. But anyway, they brought the woman. I just thought that was noteworthy when I read it. You know, was she committing adultery with herself? I mean, for crying out loud, you know? Where's the other guy? Why aren't you killing him, you know? And they threw her at his Jesus' feet and says, the law says she should be stoned to death. That didn't mean take her out and get her high till she dies. That means taking big rocks and throw them at her until she dies. Do you know in the Old Testament, it said that if kids disobeyed their parents and would not repent, you could not get them to repent, that they were supposed to be taken out by the city. They were taken out. And the whole city picked up stones and stoned these kids. You want to talk about population control? Dude, I'm glad I didn't live during that time. But that's what the law says. And so they brought this woman and they cast her at Jesus' feet and said she was taken in the very act of adultery. And the Word says she should be stoned. What do you say, Jesus? He just stooped down, took his finger, the Bible says, and he wrote in the dirt. And they went on saying words to him. I'm wondering what he wrote in the dirt. I don't know. Maybe he started writing their names, the guys that were making the accusations. Because then Jesus stood up and said, he that's without sin among you, let him be the first one to cast a stone. And the Bible says, starting at the eldest, in their hearts, they were convicted. They knew Jesus had hit the nail in their head. And it said, and they went away. They dropped their stones and they went out. And one by one, they all went out until the woman was left alone. And Jesus looked at the woman and said, woman, where are thine accusers? And she says, there's none, Lord. And he said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Worse than dying? How about being separated from God forever in a place called hell? I want to follow God, you said. I want to follow God. How are you going to give your life to Jesus? Do you want a relationship with Jesus or do you just want rules? Because if you want rules, I can give you some. Is that what you want? You want a real relationship with God? Okay, so let's talk about it. I'll ask the women. Now, you guys pay attention on purpose because the women know the answers better to this than us men do. You ready? Women, how do we have a good relationship? Like, how are you going to have a good relationship with somebody? What's required? You want to talk to them every day. Every day. Okay. Anything? Okay, what else? So she wants to talk to them every day to have a good relationship. Women, would you say that's what you want to do? You want to, whoever you're having a relationship with, you want to be able to talk to them every day. Yes? Huh? Oh, wait a minute. First of all, I want to just know, do you want to talk to them? Like if you're married, you want to be able to talk to your husband every day, right? Okay, right? Is that right? Raise your hand. Is that right? Okay, to have a good relationship. Now, what's the second thing we want to do?
I want to listen to him.
That's right. You want him to talk to you. You want to know you don't want to have to drag it out of him. You don't want him to have all these looks on his face. And that's, I'm telling you, give him some X-Lax. Things will start to move, okay? That's what prayer is like. It's like X-Lax. You know, you pray for him and God will begin to move in him. Okay? Seriously. Okay? I'm trying to make a point here. Okay? Was that funny? Okay. Now, here we go. Are you ready? So if we're going to have a good relationship with somebody, we got to talk to them because we want them to listen to us, right? You don't just want to talk to somebody and they're like, okay, Joy's on the phone again. I'm setting it down so I can go do what I need. Come back every 15 minutes. Yep. You know?
I think that's happened.
Yep. That's not what you're looking for, right? You want Him to care about you, listen to everything you're saying, hearing what you're saying, caring, commenting. We're just trying to teach you one step at a time. She's talking about. Well, that's right. Okay. So we need to talk to them and for them to listen caringly. And then we need to listen to them and hear what's on their heart. Okay. Now, a minute ago, you said you want to have a relationship with Jesus. Is that right? You want to have a relationship with Jesus. Okay. So let's just take those two things before we go any further. Okay? And we'll talk about sugar in a minute with Jesus. Okay? Okay. But let's talk about these two things right now. Okay? Seriously. Okay? How can we talk to Him? What's it called, little lady? Prayer. Do you know how to pray? Do you know how to pray? If you talk, you know how to pray. Now, when I first got in church, I had met Jesus. But remember, I was a drug dealer. And so Jesus saved me, forgave me of my sin, came to live inside of me. He's talking to me. I'm reading my Bible. Now I get in church. There, other people are praying. I was afraid to open my mouth because I never heard anybody cuss as bad as I used to cuss. Every other word in my mouth was a cuss word. I mean, I needed an interpreter when I spoke. It was pretty bad. So I was afraid to open my mouth. And so when I first got in church, I was quiet. I know you can't believe that, but I was quiet because I was afraid to open my mouth because I knew what would come out, and it wasn't good. Nobody's following behind me with a shovel and a broom, you know. And God had mercy on me. And just like that, God took away all my cussing. Just took it away. Delivered me from cussing. So now I could talk. And other people would pray. And I would hear them pray prayers. Do you know how to pray? Do you know how to pray? It's you talking to God. You know what He wants to hear you say? What is on your heart? He wants you to come and talk to Him about what's on your heart, what you're going through, your hurts, your needs, your pain. First thing He wants is He wants you to come talk to Him. Do you get it? He cares about what's happening to you. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He loves you. Have you ever come to God one time? Have you ever come to God, turn your life to God, turn your attention to God? You did something wrong or whatever, and you came back to God, or somehow, have you ever come to God? Just do me a favor, raise your hand if you've ever come to God even one time. Okay. When you turned to God, let's say you sinned, you did something wrong, you're coming back to God, you're coming back to church. When you turned to God, how did you find Him? Was He like this? Or was He like this? Can't hear you.
Open eyes.
Uh-huh. And was He standing back there like this? Giving you the look? Or was He smiling and holding you and wanting you? You see, it doesn't matter how far you run. It doesn't matter what you do. God is like right here, waiting. Do you like standing in line waiting? But do you know what, God? I just went there this week. I didn't enjoy it, okay? And they called a number, 82. Nobody moved. So I said, I had 87. So I went up. And she said, are you 82? And I handed her. And she just looked past me and said, 82, 82, 83. I said, ma'am, I'm here. She said, that's not your number. I don't like DMV. Okay, anyway, you just brought that up. So she asked, you know, nobody responded, so I'll do it. God, when you, he's standing here waiting. I want you to write this down. If you're writing stuff down, I want you to write this down. God says, you, say your name. No, say your name. Say it out loud. No, I can't hear your name. Say it out loud. We're going to count to three, and you're going to say your name out loud. One, two, three.
Arabella.
Okay, come on. Okay, a little louder. One, two, three.
Arabella.
Okay, that means your mouth has to move and words come out. Okay, let's try it again. Okay, some people, we're going to have to work with them. Okay, you ready? Say your name loud, okay? One, two, three.
Arabella.
Okay. I want you to write this down. Jesus says, you are worth waiting for. We make God wait all the time while we put other things in front of him. Our own pleasure, our own ways of doing things. You know, you have the thought, you ought to do something. You're like, yeah, when I'm done with this. Do you like it when you tell your kids, go... It's okay. They can wander around. It's okay. And don't worry. They probably won't bite. Okay? So, it's a, okay. Jesus loves you so much, he's willing to wait until you'll turn to him. And as soon as you do, he's right here, hugging you. Right here, forgiving you. Is that right? Is that the way it's been every time? So what I'm saying is, you don't have to yell. God! God! Are you out there? He's right here. Just talk to him. If you want to have a clue how to talk to him, go read Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's a model prayer. He gives you an idea. It's not just certain words we're supposed to say, like it's magic words. He's given us an idea. Our Father, he wants to be your daddy. He cares about you. He's wanting you to come to him so he can meet your needs, take care of you. You need to pray. You need to talk to him. Number two, you need to listen to him. By the way, how many ears do you have? How many mouths do you have?
One.
Is there a clue there? Now, it's not my fault I was born deformed with two mouths and one ear. It's not my fault. Okay? We just do the best we can with what we got. Okay? But seriously, there's a clue there. You know what we need to do? We need to let God talk to us. Now, I pick up my iPad because I like it on my iPad. I have my Bible on my iPad, but this is my Bible. And you need to pick up your Bible and let God talk to you every day. Remember? You want to have a good relationship with somebody? I want them to talk to me every day. Didn't we say that? Didn't we all agree with that? I want to have a good relationship. So I want them to talk to me every day. We need to let God talk to us every day. Would you like to hear what God has to say to you personally? If not, why do you come to us and ask us? What does God have to say? Every time I talk to one of you, you're always like, is God telling you anything about me? What does God have to say? And then when I tell you, you're like, really? Right? Yeah, how many times have you done that? Really? You know, right? Did he say that? He wants to talk to you. Do you know that God talks all the time? And I can prove it. He made me in his image, right? Right? I rest my case. Okay, he talks all the time. You just got to learn how to hear his voice. You have thoughts all the time. Some of them come from old snake breath, and some of them come from God. He wants to talk to you. You need to take time in your day to sit down and just say, God, would you come talk to me? If you got your Bible, turn to Psalm 119 and verse 18. I'm going to show you a prayer that you pray before you read your Bible. Psalm 119, verse 18. Are you ready? It says this. Basically, God, or you, open thou, you open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You open my eyes that I can see what you want me to see. And then start reading. You got a Bible? If you don't have a Bible, come see me. I'll give you one. Okay? It was Psalm 119, which is way back here. Look, let go. You said, where is it? I'm showing you. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. 176 verses. Psalm 119, verse 18. God, you, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Pick up his word and let him read to you. Let him talk to you. Do you want to hear God? Do you? Okay. When I first got in church, the preacher would say, open your Bible. And I would say, that's what I haven't done since last time I was here. I meant to do it. And every Sunday I'd make this determination. You did that? I'm going to read my Bible. And then guess what? We don't always do it, do we? Turn over to Job. If you're in Psalms, go back one book toward the beginning. Job chapter 23 and verse 12. Job 23:12. If you really want to hear God, go to Job 23:12. Can I help? Oh, you're almost there. You got it. You got it? Yeah, what page are you on? Yeah. Here. Psalm Job 23:12. You got it? Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips, but I have esteemed, here's the key, you ready? I have made important the words of God's mouth more than my necessary food. It's more important for me to read his word every day than it is to eat my food. Now, who likes to eat? Okay, the rest of you are lying. Okay? Before you put any food in your mouth, I'm challenging you. God, before I put any food in my mouth every day, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to read a chapter in my Bible before I put any food in my mouth. Do you think you might develop a good habit of reading if you said that? Made that decision? If you start doing that, God's going to start talking to you. God's going to start changing you from the inside. Do you watch TV? Do you go on the computer? Do you hang out with other people? Then you've got all kinds of information coming into you, and a lot of it is stinking thinking. Do you know what I'm saying? I was at a lady's house the other day, and she had these, I don't even know what it is, some kind of talk show or something. And I walk in, and it's like somebody sleeping with somebody who's not her somebody, and all these people, and I'm in there trying to give her an estimate, and I'm like, oh, it was like trash. And I'm like, okay, God, just help me to not hear that it's trash. And while we were talking, somehow I mentioned that, because God had me mention it, and her mom was standing there and was going, that's right, she needs to get rid of that. And I said, God's the only one who can get away with nagging, you know. I said, let's don't nag her. But while I was talking to the girl, the mom walked right in there and turned off that trash. And I told her, I said, the things I'm saying to you, I said, did God come in your house today? And she goes, yeah. I said, well, do you want more God? Yeah. I said, then quit feeding on trash. I said, there's a church, because she lives right over there on Howie Street, where the light is across from Home Depot. And I said, we have a church right around the corner, and why don't you come over here? We're open during the week, and there are people here that are going to love on you, and people here that are going to help you. because they're people that have God inside of them, because they want to live in the kingdom of heaven. They want Jesus as their king. They want to honor him. They want to be like him. They want to let him have his values. If that's what you want for your life, then there's choices you have to make. The three main things, I just want you to write these things down and we'll be done. Okay, I got a whole bunch of verses, a whole bunch of stuff, but we're going to be done. I'm just going to say these three things if you write them down. Are you ready? These three things, I've never seen anybody successful in a walk with God that does not have these three things, and I've never seen anybody that has these three things that are not successful. You ready? Number one, read your Bible. Let God talk to you. Read your Bible. This is powerful. This book, I didn't just read it one time and quit reading it. I keep reading it. I've read it over 75 times from cover to cover. I read it and read it because it's his way of thinking. It's his things that I'm seeing. It's his way to live. But besides all that, when I read it, it's powerful. How do you think I met Jesus as a drug dealer reading that Bible? Because it is so powerful that as I read it and I let God's word get inside my heart, it began to change me inside. Are you good where you're at, or do you want to... When you need more joy, more peace, more love, more acceptance, more inner healing. Do you need more of Jesus? The Bible is Jesus' seed. You plant more of Jesus, you're going to get more of Jesus. Do you get what I'm saying? Three things. Read your Bible. Let God talk to you. Pray. You talk to God. Learn to talk to Him about everything. God, I don't want to go to work without you. God, I need you in dealing with this customer. God, help me. I'm going to get out and I'm going to start driving. Please protect me. Which road should I take, Lord? Because maybe he wants me to go down a different road. I'm going to meet somebody else. Or if I went down this road, maybe I'd have an accident. Or if I went down this road, maybe I'm going to meet somebody that he wants me to be able to help bring them to Jesus. Do you understand? Include God in everything. That's prayer, in prayer. Include him. Let God talk to you. You want to have a good relationship. You talk to God, prayer. And then the third one, I could tell you it's church, but it's more than church because it's be careful who you hang out with. Guys had tried to get me to do drugs for over a year when I was a kid. And I kept saying, they call it dope, right? I said, I don't want to be a dope. So I wouldn't do it. But there came a point, because I kept hanging out with them, I ended up becoming a dope and smoking dope. You see what I'm saying? I was never going to smoke cigarettes. I used to pour oil on my mom's cigarettes. I used to do all kinds of stuff. I was a boogerhead. Cut them. She goes to pull one out and they're cutting too. Oh man, I did all kinds of stuff. I was never going to smoke.
If you put oil on a cigarette,
hang on.
Fire, right?
Yeah, they don't taste good at all like that. No. But as I hung around with people that smoke, I smoke. Why in the daylights would a guy want to stick an earring in his ear? Have no idea. But when I hung around with people that stuck earrings in their ear, guess what I did? And I'm afraid of needles. I'm scared to death of needles. I had to get a shot or two this week. I think it was this week. And I said, just don't show it to me. I said, you can jab me all you want, but don't show it to me. If I see it, I said, you ain't getting it in me. You know? I'll probably hit you. I do not like pain. But I'm driving down the road. I want to be cool. And this girl says, I can pierce your ear. We're driving down the road, for crying out loud. She's got a needle and she jams it through my ear while we're driving down the road. Now, how stupid is that? First, the devil had to get me doped up, you know what I mean? And then hang out with people like that. So be careful who you associate with. That's where church is. Look, Steve's not perfect. But you know what? Steve loves Jesus. And you know what? Steve, a long time ago, made a decision. See, I met Steve in 93 and introduced him to Jesus. And he was my Jesus, but now he's Steve's Jesus. You see? Now, Steve's not perfect. But when I hang out with Steve, I know he's given his life to Jesus. He said, Jesus, I want whatever you want. When I hang out with Jesus, he's going to talk Jesus. He's going to talk kingdom values. He's going to help point me and direct me and help me to live kingdom values. If I go, now, every person out there on this planet, we're not better than them. If you think because you go to church or because you met Jesus you're better, you've missed it. You're self-righteous. Remember, I told you that's what God's dealing with me about. That's wrong. We need to love them. We need to love every person on this planet. But God's the one who loves them, and we got to let God love them through us. Because we don't always like those people. Do you like it if somebody holds you up or cusses you or cuts you off on the road? That was a girl back there talking about cutting somebody off on the road, right? That's what y'all were laughing about earlier. Okay? Who's on the road? Who's driving? You don't like that, right? God, I choose to forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, Father, please come fill me with your love, because I'm willing for you to love them through me. I had a guy that wanted to beat me up. And he told me, I was running a shop, and we got off at 4 in the morning, and he said, you won't get out of this complex, because I worked in an industrial complex. When you left our building, there was only one road out. And he said, you won't get out of this complex without me beating you up. He jumped right at me when at the shop. He jumped at me. And I just kind of turned my head because he was bigger than me. Actually, I turned my head this way. I turned my head, and he was so mad. He was cussing and yelling, and he said, if I hit you in here, I'll get fired. So I'll wait until you come out and get in your car, and I'm going to beat you up. I'm just putting it in English, you know. I'm interpreting it for you.
Yeah.
And I got out there, and I drove, and I was driving a little VW Beetle at the time. And as I'm pulling up, I owned a bunch of those things, man. Yep, I rolled a few of them. Anyway, and as I'm pulling up, he's beating on the car, yelling, get out, I'm going to crush you, or whatever he said. And I'm praying the whole way, God, please, I'm allergic to pain. I don't really want to get in a fight. And I got out of the car, and the guy wanted to fight. And he said something like, are you ready, or whatever he said. I don't even know what he said. And I was praying, and I didn't know what to say to the guy. And God came on me, and I just started talking to him. And another guy in the shop, he was looking forward to the fight, so he pulled his car up and got up on his hood watching. He was just missing the popcorn, you know. He wanted to see me get pulverized right there in the street. And there's 4 in the morning. This is over in Troy, Michigan, on the other side. I could take you right there, 15 mile. I could take you right to it, Thunderbird Bowling Alley. And he had his car across the street, so I couldn't get out. And he's banging on the car, and I get out, and he puts up, and he starts walking toward me like he's going to beat me. And everybody's bigger than me, except the sixth graders. And I looked at him, and I just said, I don't even know what I said, but I said something like, do you know that God loves you? And you know that God has plans for you? But he's given you a free will. And I just started talking to him. And the other guy got mad after a while because there wasn't a fight. And he drove off squealing his tires, you know. Yeah, isn't that real smart? Yeah, here. Let me go squeal my tires so I can go buy some more. That's real good. Talking about dope. And the other guy, after about 15 minutes, his name is Tim I'm just telling you his name was Tim. I don't want to tell you his last name because I don't want to hurt him. And he just kind of hung his head and said, I got to go. And he never laid a hand on me. And about 4 months later, now this is a guy that wanted to do me bodily harm. 4 months later, I got to introduce him to Jesus one night. When he and I were working at the shop and nobody else was there, we were doing a swing shift. They had all these parts they had to get out, and they had Tim and I working. And 4 months later, this guy who wanted to pulverize me met Jesus. Now, can I ask you a question? Does it feel good to hate somebody? Does it feel good to not forgive somebody? How's it feel in your stomach? How's it help you for your sleeping? What I'm saying to you is, that's not God's kingdom. If we're going to live in God's kingdom, we're going to do things God's way. It's going to require God. God in us. But us making a choice that we want Him in us. We want His way. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. I'm going to be done. Remember I told you three things? Read the Word, pray, and be careful who you associate with. That's where church comes in. You got to be planted. Okay, you're here for the first time. Do you know that we love you here? Just do me a favor. If you're here for the first time, or even if you're not, you know you're loved here? Raise your hand. No doubt about it? Oh, but you don't know me. If you only knew. Why do you think he keeps having me say I had been a drug dealer? It doesn't matter where you've been. You come to Jesus and He'll make you clean. You come to Jesus and He'll forgive you. You come to Jesus and He'll give you a whole new life because your life starts right now. Do you understand? Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, listen to what I'm going to say. I want to give my life to Jesus. Is that your heart? Is that your heart? I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to live for Jesus. Okay? If I want to get from where Steve is to here, what do I have to do? What does Steve have to do to get from where he is to here? What's the first thing he has to do? He has to get up, doesn't he? So get up. Get up. What's the second thing he's got to do? Oh, wait a minute. First thing he's got to do is he got up, right? Now, the second thing you said to walk, but before he walks, he has to take one step. Here's the first step. You've already done it. You're here. Do you get it? You already started. You've already made a choice of who you want to hang out with. You're here. Second, I want you this week, I want you doing one thing. I want you to read your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you're going to come see me. I'll give you one that I paid for. Okay? I want you to pick up your Bible this week, every day. The way to make sure you do it every day is you read your Bible before you feed your face. Oh, did he say that? Yes. Read your Bible before you feed your face. And you're going to give God an opportunity to talk to you. I'm just asking you to do it for 1 week. And we'll talk about it next week. Will you do that? Is that in your heart? You see it? Okay, raise your hand then. If that's what you... Okay, God, I'm wanting to do that this week because I want to hear from you. I want to walk with you. I want to give you my life. This week, we're going to read one chapter. Start in Matthew. You could read Matthew. You could read one chapter. I don't care if you read more, but read at least one chapter. Don't read three or four one day and then don't read it the next day. Well, say, well, I'll catch up. You know, I mean, that'll cover me through Thursday. No. Every day it's important you read because God wants to talk to you. This is an experiment. You're going to find something that's going to happen in your life this week. If you just do it for 1 week, Just 1 week. Just 1 week. And then next week you tell me what happened. Because something's going to happen inside of you. I'm not asking you to change your life. I'm asking you to let God change your life. But it starts with you picking up the Word and letting Him talk to you. Okay? Are we good? Jesus, I thank You for these friends of mine. And and Jesus, we love You. And we need Your help. Because we want to read Your Word every day. And we need You to remind us. Help me to not make excuses. But Lord, I want to see what You're going to do. I'm looking forward to it. Thank You for loving me, Jesus. Right where I am. And I'm sorry I've had to make You wait in line. Because I don't want to do that anymore. Thank You, Jesus. You're awesome. Amen. Now, Father, I want You to bless each family, each life. Protect them. Heal them. Lord, draw them. Minister to them. Heal the hurting hearts. Kiss the boo-boos. And, Lord, help them to become a part of this family that we could let You love them through us. And I thank You for this family. And those that are allowing You to live through them. And we say, thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to do something. Make sure you get 3 hugs. No, you got to give 3 hugs before you leave. Now, you can come give me one, but I want you to give 3 hugs before you leave here today. Okay?